Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, my name is Mark Lichtenwalter. I'm coming to you live on this 11th day of July 2019. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We're starting a new book today. The Church and the Gospel will be starting on page 1, chapter 1. You can read that for free at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. You can also find the text to this radio program at Fundamentally Mormon. It's all there and waiting for people to go look at it. We are also broadcasting live on facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. And I think we got our little problem fixed with the Facebook live stream. Hopefully we got it fixed today. So hopefully it won't cut out like it has been doing over the last couple of episodes. We're also broadcasting live at youtube.com/user/God is my compass. If the Facebook fails again, then you can go over there and take a look at that. I'll also be posting these videos with the texts at fundamentallymormon.com, as I said before, also on my Facebook groups and my Facebook wall. Facebook group is LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussion, and also LDS Gospel Mysteries. So it is Shabbat. Sun has set. It is Friday night. Shabbat never has changed. Joseph Smith actually talked about let me fix this real quick. How we shouldn't do work on Saturday because it'll disturb our day of rest. He said that in 1831 in Kirtland, Ohio. Later on, the church decided to follow the traditions of the world instead of keeping the correct day of rest, which is Friday night to Saturday night, according to God's understanding of time, not ours. And I've done a pretty long video explanation of that on YouTube. You can check that out. I think I've got like three videos in a playlist that talk about that. So anyway, I will dedicate the program, and then I'll start the YouTube live stream. And hold on. Gus, we have a guinea pig behind the camera, and he is climbing up on his little igloo in his aquarium and sticking his nose over the side looking at me. Oh, I love my animals. Anyway, let's dedicate the program and we'll get right into the reading. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We come to thee this day, Father, in the name of thy Son, thine only begotten Son, even Yeshua, our Messiah. We thank thee, Father, for the gospel, for the plan, for the restored gospel, and for the plan of salvation that thou hast set up for us to return into thy presence. We thank thee, Father, for the prophet Joseph Smith and all of the holy prophets and all they have done to write their testimonies and give us their revelations through the holy books of scriptures that we have been given. We ask thee, Father, to help us to have thy spirit that we might know the truth of the restored plan of salvation, the restored gospel that is yours, and go away from the false traditions of men. We love thee, Father, and we ask that we are able to help teach people and edify people and show them the truth as restored by Joseph Smith. And we pray for thy kingdom to come on earth even as it is in heaven, that Zion might be redeemed. We say these things in the name of Yeshua. Amen. All right. Let's see here. Let me just start this video. Oh. All right, so I'm going live on YouTube right now. As soon as that starts. All right, so we're reading The Church and the Gospel, Chapter 1, pages 1 through 11 by Ogden Kraut. This particular book was published July of 1993, so it's a little old, but, you know, it's still relevant. The gospel does not change, even though the traditions of men try to change it. You can read this for free at fundamentally mormon.com/2019/the-church-and-gospel-chapter-1-pages-1.html?m=1. All right, so actually, the preface starts on page 5. There are volumes and volumes on LDS church history, but not much has been written on the actual history of its doctrines. Little doubt exists among the Mormon people as to the origin and the beginning verses of or events of the church, but there are many diverse opinions on its doctrines. Mormonism has more than its share of confusion, contradiction, and controversy among its members. For example, about 20 years after the death of the prophet Joseph Smith, the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was born because of disagreements over correct doctrine and authority. Approximately 200 breakoffs from the Mormon Church have been created mostly over differences in these two areas. From dispensation to dispensation, history records that the course of many civilizations and churches is one eternal round. Number one, pure at its inception from God. Number two, gradually changes or is polluted by mankind in their efforts to improve it, which drives me nuts because, like, God gave us certain things. Who are we to change it? Like the endowment, they just changed it this last spring. Again, originally the endowment was an all-day long thing, and, you know, now they cut it down to something, or it's under 2 hours. You know, all that stuff they cut out, and I get this excuse that, oh, well, the main things are still in it. Well, if God gave it to us a certain way, who are we to change any of it because of political correctness or anything? You know, anyway, number three, eventually restored back to its restored back to its righteous state. The Church of Jesus Christ in these latter days is no exception, as this book will show by tracing the history and evolution of some of its ordinances and doctrines during the past 160 years plus since its organization in 1830. So, well, it's like 178 years or something like that, 79 years since its organization at this point. I might be a little bit wrong about that, but anyway, this publication can, of course, contain only a very small representation and quotations and references that could be included in the 10 doctrines selected to be discussed. Those 10 doctrines are the gift of spirits without purse or script, the 70s, the gathering of Israel, rebaptism, the United Order, the only true God, plural marriage, blacks in the priesthood, and the kingdom of God. And I have done video shows on all of these topics over the past, well, radio. So I used to do a radio show called The Kingdom of God or Nothing, which you can find on iTunes podcasts, where we've covered all of these topics extensively. I did over 462 episodes, all between 2 to 4 hours apiece, and we've talked about all of this. Of course, we're in our 168th episode of Fundamentally Mormon, and we've gone over many of these things as well on this program. Continuing on with the reading, we are on page 6 of The Church and the Gospel by Ogden Kraut. The author has written entire books on most of these subjects, should more detailed information be desired. Hopefully, the information contained on these pages will encourage the reader to learn more about all of the eternal doctrines and commandments of God, and more than that, have the desire to obey and to live them. The author, that's Ogden Kraut. And you can read those other books at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. Once again, on the main page, click on Read Ogden's Books, and you'll find a bevy of publications. I think there's over 70 publications, books, and pamphlets that he has written that deal with all these topics, where he's compiled quotes from past leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We're on page 7, chapter 1, introduction. The Great Search. Latter-day Saint doctrines, principles, and ordinances have a unique and important history. So a lot of people are like, well, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints worships a different Jesus than we do, and we can't accept it. Well, because of the false traditions of men that have crept into the many churches around the world, Jesus Christ's prophecy in Matthew chapter 24, where there would be many false prophets and false teachers, has literally come true. You find them teaching their false doctrines throughout the breadth and width of the whole wide world. The reason why God had to, Jehovah our Elohim, had to restore the gospel is because of these apostasies. So if there are things in Christendom that don't go along with what we have as restored, it's because it had to be restored. If you can't find things in the Bible, especially, that Mormons teach, it's because they've been taken out of the Bible. That's why there is a difference. We have a restored gospel with a true prophet of God. Amos in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh, states that surely the Lord God will do nothing except for who reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets, and he has done that in these days with the restoration, which is talked about in the scriptures. So anyway, continuing on, without studying and understanding them, it is impossible to know God's will for man. For he said, it is impossible for a man to be saved in ignorance. Doctrine and Covenants, section 131, verse 6. And the prophet Joseph Smith explained, quote, the things of God are of deep import and time and experience, and careful and ponderous and solemn thoughts can only find them out. The mind of man, thy mind, O man, if thou wilt lead a soul unto salvation, must stretch as high as the utmost heavens and search into and contemplate the darkest abyss and the broad expanse of eternity. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 137. For those of you who can see the video live stream and are not listening in the radio show, this is Eliza. She is 6, and she likes to see herself in the camera, and she misses me because I work way too much. I'm taking tonight off because it's Shabbat, and my body hurts. Every night I've been driving 10 to 12-hour shifts and covering about 400 miles a day, and oh my gosh. So I'm going to stay home with my family tonight and enjoy the Shabbat, which is a day of rest. We do attend church on Sundays, but we observe the Sabbath by taking a rest from work and from those type of things. So tonight I'm just going to spend time with my family after I do the radio show. And Eliza has missed me because I get home around 7 in the morning usually. Yesterday I didn't get home until noon because I was working on my truck, had a bunch of stuff I wanted to do to it to get it nice. I enjoy driving my truck. I enjoy lights on my truck and cleaning my truck and making things work on my truck. So that's why I didn't do a radio show yesterday.
I forgot to tell you something.
Oh, yeah. She went to the dentist today, and one of her roots to her baby tooth is dead, so they're going to pull it out on next Wednesday. So, can you go downstairs and make sure Amberly's not playing on the internet? Love you. Bye. I advise all to go on to perfection and search deeper and deeper into the mysteries of godliness. A man could do nothing for himself unless God directs him in the right way. How does that happen? That happens by revelation. Continuing on with Joseph Smith's quote, and the priesthood is for that purpose. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 364. Let me see if I can figure this out here. Oh, yeah, I put this little tablet right here. Let's see who's watching. Alan, Jarrett, Nate, Jeff, David, Richard. Richard B. Losey asks if I am a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. No, I am not. I am a member of the Church of the Living Messiah. We are a fundamentalist group, and we go over the deep doctrines which the fundamentalists have preserved. Ogden Kraut was a fundamentalist, and he compiled things that Heber C. Kimball and John Taylor and Brigham Young have written or wrote, or the Journal of Discourses stuff, Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith. So no, I don't belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I personally believe that the only prophet, the only true Lord's anointed, was Joseph Smith in section 124. And I know I'm going off on tangents, but Richard wants to ask. In section 124 of the Doctrine and Covenants, Jesus Christ tells Joseph Smith, and this revelation was received in January 18th of 1841, to build a temple in Nauvoo, whereby the Most High could come dwell therein, that he might restore that which was lost unto you, or that which was taken away, even the fullness of the priesthood. So Jesus Christ is speaking of the Most High, who is the Father, who is required to come to this finished temple to restore the fullness of the priesthood, which they have lost. He tells them if they do what they're supposed to do, there would be many great blessings. This would be the beginning of revelations for Zion's redemption. The fullness of the priesthood is to be endowed with the power of God, the same priesthood that Elijah and Enoch, Jesus, Noah, Moses, and all these great prophets received. Joseph Smith said that they received them from the hands of the Father, not from the hands of men. And that's important because you can only receive the fullness of the priesthood by the Father. I can't give it to you. But I had the Father lay his hands on my head and give it to me in the spring of 2003 when I saw him face to face. And I also saw Jesus and I embraced them both. In section 124, Jesus says, if you do not do what I say, instead of blessings, you'll receive cursings. If you do what I say, I will fight your battles for you, and you shall not be removed from your place. But they were removed from their place, which was Nauvoo. Cursings came upon the members of the church for their apostasy and their sloth, and the church was rejected, as Jesus said it would be in section 124. If you do not do what I say, you will be rejected as a church with your dead. In section 85 of the Doctrine and Covenants, Jesus alludes to this apostasy when he states that he would have to send one mighty and strong to set the house of God in order, which implied that it would become out of order. So no, I don't belong to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I believe they're in full apostasy. I don't believe their prophet seers and revelators are prophet seers and revelators because they do not have the fruits of being actual prophet seers and revelators. They have rejected many revelations given, like John Taylor received revelations in the 1880s, and Wilford Woodruff received one in 1890, which the church doesn't even recognize. However, some of these revelations got into the Doctrine and Covenants, which was printed over in England, But they were never printed in the Doctrine and Covenants that the church gives you today. You can find out more about those revelations by going to ogdenkraut.com and reading them in a book entitled Revelations 1880 to 1890 if you want to get into more detail with that. But no, I don't. I believe that there are many good things in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I believe that they've changed so much of their doctrines that they're in apostasy. And that's my stance on that. I am a member of the Church of the Living Messiah. So we try to keep God's commandments, and we don't make excuses about how we can't do it because, you know, which the church they did. And so I was a member of the church. Well, my baptism was in 1986. I was a Baptist after that. I tried to have my name removed from the church because I believed all the anti-Mormon lies that I was taught by the Baptists. I went to a Southern Baptist church until 1996 when I met the missionaries and for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I prayed about the Book of Mormon and Joseph Smith, and the Holy Spirit came down on me like fire. And started going to church. I got my endowments in the Salt Lake Temple in 1997. I also received my patriarchal blessing in 1997, which it states, okay, so get this. In my patriarchal blessing, it states that that I have been sealed up into eternal life. When I asked the stake president and the stake patriarch about that, they said that I had qualified in the pre-existence to have my calling and election made sure. I've had many experiences with God, with angels, with receiving written revelations, which you can find at www.latterdaykingdom.webs.com, and my experiences there and everything else. So my wife and children are still members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we would continue to go. I never made any trouble at church, but I do the radio shows, and they flipped out about it. So I was excommunicated in 2013. Actually, I was excommunicated for the Adam God doctrine, which is a fundamentalist belief, which was taught by Brigham Young. Actually, it was taught by Joseph Smith to Brigham Young, according to his testimony. And they still teach it in the endowment. Jesus Christ said that there are, or not Jesus, Joseph Smith said that there are three main people over each earth. That is the Father, who is the Creator, the Son, who is the Redeemer, and the Holy Ghost, who is the witness or the testator. In the endowment, in the Salt Lake Temple, in every temple, in fact, it is the Elohim that send Jehovah and Michael to create the earth, but Jehovah tells Michael in the endowment to go and do it, and then he does it. Michael does it. He's over it, under the direction of Jehovah, under the direction of the Elohim, and he is the creator. Right? That's the Adam God doctrine, more or less. We can get way more in depth in that, but then there's other things too, like the early teachings of the church taught that Jehovah or Jehovah and Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, actually were two separate individuals. The Kirtland Temple dedication, Joseph Smith prayed to Jehovah, our great father, and his son, Jesus Christ. In Ether chapter 3, it states that, in Ether chapter 3, it's Jesus says to Mahanre Moriankomer, the brother of Jared, that never have at any time have I appeared unto man. Yet Jehovah walked and talked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He walked physically in the city of Enoch with Enoch. He spoke and talked and appeared to Methuselah and many other people. Jesus Christ said that in Ether chapter 3 that he was a spirit and that he would later come and take a body. But Jehovah appeared as a resurrected being and had dinner with Abraham. with a body because he had already been resurrected. There's a lot of things in the church that have been changed over the years, things that have been ignored. And so as long as I contend that the church is in full apostasy, I can't be a member of it. I didn't choose to leave it. They chose to kick me out because of my beliefs, which Joseph Smith would turn over in his grave. You know, he said that you shouldn't punish somebody for believing. You should punish people for sin. So anyway, continuing on, let's see. Just trying to understand the message. I think everyone is incredible. Just a question, nothing more. I think you are brilliant. Oh, thank you so much. Florida Luna is watching. Hi, David. Jay Powell is watching. And let's see, Wes, thank you for watching. And Richard says, you are a gift to learn from. Thank you. You know what? It's my pleasure to do these radio shows. I actually am really tired most of the time, but I drive at night. So I wake up, get a shower, eat, and then try to do the radio shows before I go to work. I feel the spirit the most when I'm teaching, and I love it. I'm addicted to it. So, and, you know, I've had opinions that were wrong in the past, but, you know, I think that's everybody has to deal with that. In fact, Timothy was told by Paul in the New Testament or the Brit Hadashah that we need to test the spirits. And, like, God gives us all revelation, but Satan also gives us revelation, the whisperings. And we need to test everything that we believe and get a confirmation of the Holy Spirit as we are studying and pondering. And then that's the only way that we can know truth, because as Peter said, Scripture is not for private interpretation. That interpretation belongs to God, and if we want to know it, we should get it from Him. So there's things that I don't agree with Ogden, like I said, but I love his books. I'm friends with his son, Kevin, and, you know, and Ogden, he believed that Brigham Young was a prophet. I don't believe Brigham Young was a prophet in the sense that he was the Lord's anointed. Now, anybody can be a prophet because anybody who received revelation is a prophet. But there's a lot of things that Brigham did that I don't agree with. For instance, he had a mansion built for him and had all the finest things in life and made himself rich off the church. And then he would complain about how people would buy yellow ribbons for their dresses to make them look nice and that they should have given that money to the church, you know, for what? So they could have united orders, which they never did. And in the 1890s, the government actually made it illegal for us to have united orders. That's why we don't do it anymore. But, you know, I don't believe that the whole thing with the speech in the 1844 or 5, I can't remember, where he looked and talked like Joseph Smith. I don't believe that ever happened. Those records, the accounts of those things, actually were not written in journals until like 20 or 30 years after the fact. Nobody contemporary at the time wrote of it. I think it was just mythology that they made up. Somebody said, oh, I remember that. And then they started, oh, yeah, me too, you know, and you get this false memory. When Jesus says in the Doctrine and Covenants, I will reject my church with their debt if you're disobedient, I believe him at his word. They didn't finish the temple. The Father never came to that temple. The Shekinah glory that came upon the old tabernacle in the wilderness during the days of Moses, or the Shekinah glory that came upon the Kirtland Temple, never came upon a temple after that. It happened in Kirtland. It didn't happen in Nauvoo. The Father never came to that temple. Jesus Christ never came to that temple. No angel ever came to that temple. And the fullness of the priesthood was not had. And in fact, it says that instead of blessings, you'll receive cursings. And anyone who hinders this work, all section 124, anyone who hinders this work will be cursed to the third and fourth generation, which would be 120 to 160 years. Now, at the end of that time period, now I didn't know this when it happened to me, but at the end of that time period, 159 years after the death of the prophet Joseph Smith is when I saw the Father and the Son face to face in the flesh and received the fullness of the priesthood under the hands of the Father. So yeah, I proclaim to be a prophet and a teacher and a revelator. I've received many revelations. And it is what is. And I that all happened while I was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In fact, I wrote President Hinckley about my experiences, and they sent L. Tom Perry to come interview me. And I remember L. Tom Perry, and I was in a singles ward. I think I was about 25 or 26 at the time. And he slapped me on the back after we talked for a while. And they told me, the stake president told me, you need to be at a church early. Somebody needs to meet you. Just, you know, go and sit in the pews and he'll come to you. So that next morning I was to church early and L. Tom Perry walks in and he wants to talk to me. And it was kind of funny because, like, nobody knew he was coming. And, we're in the singles ward and I'm sitting there and people are walking into the chapel and they're seeing L. Tom Perry sitting there talking to me. And, nobody knew what it was about. I did. But the last thing he said to me, which is very telling, and I didn't understand at the time, because I was a full believer that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints wasn't in apostasy. But at the time, he slapped me on the back and he said, well, God's the one that chooses his prophets because we sure don't. So anyway, continuing on with the reading. But this search to understand the mysteries is long and challenging. There have always been confusion, discord, and contradictions among those trying to interpret the gospel. Even Jesus occasionally said that seemed to be contradictory and mysterious. Things that seem to be contradictory and mysterious are all the more reason for our extensive study of the background, history, and meaning of these gospel doctrines and its principles. The prophet Joseph Smith described the best method to use in learning these saving and exalting principles. Quote, when you climb up a ladder, you must begin at the bottom and ascend step by step until you arrive at the top, and so it is with the principles of the gospel. You must begin with the first and go on until you learn all the principles of exaltation. But it will be a great while after you have passed through the veil before you will have learned them. It is not all to be comprehended in this world. And in fact, some of the things that I have seen or other people that I know have seen, like, it's amazing that God gave them those mysteries because, like, they're so fantastic and so wonderful. Like, for instance, people living on the sun in an exalted state and the world that exists there. It's not just a fireball like we think it is that has an atmosphere that is truly on fire, but there's more there than what we can understand. Of course, exalted resurrected beings can dwell in that place where celestial or terrestrial resurrected beings or even mortals can't even begin to get close to it. It'll destroy them. Anyway, but there's lots of things that God, that are in, you know, that are true realities that we can't even begin to comprehend at this point in our probation, in our mortality. And really, the deeper doctrines that we have are all basics in the kingdom of God. So anyway, it will be a great work to learn our salvation and exaltation beyond the grave. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 348. It is much more vital for us to advance from the milk to the meat of the gospel than it is to advance from elementary school to high school and college. As the inspired translation of the Bible states, quote, therefore, not leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 of the inspired translation. The meat of the gospel adds to the milk. It is not a substitute for the basic principles. However, most saints are not even desirous or capable of receiving greater light and knowledge and are content to stay with the milk. Even the Book of Mormon has to be written with a lesser portion of the word in order to be understood by the average reader. And now there cannot be written, and this is a quote, and now there cannot be written in this book even 1/100th part of the things which Jesus did truly teach unto his people, unto the people. For behold, the plates of Nephi do contain the most part of the things which he taught the people. And these things have I written, which are a lesser part of the things which he taught the people. And I have written them to the intent that they may be brought again unto this people from the Gentiles, according to the words which Jesus hath spoken. And when they shall receive this, which is expedient that they should have first to try their faith, and if it shall be so, so be that they shall believe these things, then shall greater things be made manifest unto them. And if it so be that they will not believe these things, then shall the greater things be withheld from them unto their condemnation. Behold, I was about to write them, all which were engraven upon the plates of Nephi, but the Lord forbid it, saying, I will try the faith of my people. 3 Nephi chapter 26 verses 6 through 11. And, you know, I think that one of the tests that God is using to try the faith of his people is, are they going to be obedient to what he has given us through the prophet Joseph Smith? Or are they going to place their trust in him? Or are they going to place their trust in men? Cursed are all they who place their trust in the flesh. That applies even to me. You can hear what I say and test the doctrines for yourself. See if what I'm saying is right. Get confirmation for yourself. But to just follow me willy-nilly and believe everything that I say without getting revelation for yourself is to be damned. Because you place your trust in me, not in God. Anyway, like I said, that was 3 Nephi chapter 26, verses 6 through 11. Joseph Smith could not even tell his close associates all that God had revealed to him. Quote, I heard him, Joseph Smith, say at one time when he was preaching, turning to those that sat behind him, if I should reveal to these, my brethren, who now seem to be my bosom friends, what God has revealed to me, they would be the first to seek my life. And quote, and continuing with the quote, and it was so. Nancy Trace, autobiography, BYU transcript, page 25. Let's see here. Only when people make the extra effort to learn the greater principles of the gospel do they begin to realize the tremendous value of them. Eventually, they can gain a testimony of these truths, which is of more value than life itself. John the Revelator wrote about the saints who considered the gospel worth dying for, quote, and they overcame him, speaking of Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. Many thousands have endured torture, pain, and death at the hands of those who have opposed the gospel. The Savior also explains how valuable the gospel should be to us. So we're on page 10. For those of you following along, we have two pages left. Before I get into this quote, I'll just put the radio show number out there if anybody wants to call in. The guest call-in number, and this is live right now if you're watching on the Facebook and the YouTube live streams, the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. Hi, Eliza. Are you having fun? Okay. Anyway, and when I'm done with the next two pages, then if we have any phone calls at that time, then I will take them. And if not, then I will just end the radio show and the live stream. So, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchantman seeking godly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 through 46. If men have paid such a great price for the gospel in the past, shouldn't we be willing to do the same? If we expect a similar reward, we should pay the same price. The prophet Joseph Smith commented, quote, "Reflect for a moment, brethren, inquire whether you would be consider yourselves worthy a seat at the marriage feast with Paul and others like him if you have been unfaithful." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 64. The saints generally have failed to understand the importance of the gospel restoration, either for themselves or the great work that will result from it. As George Q. Cannon explained in 1882, quote, "The Lord, through the prophet Joseph Smith, in early revelations told the church, 'You are laying the foundation of a great work. How great, you know not.' The same words are just as applicable to us today. Notwithstanding the growth of the work up to the present time, we with the light we now possess even cannot conceive of its greatness. It has not entered into our hearts, neither are we capable of conceiving it." Journal of Discourses, volume 23, page 277 and 278. Brigham Young warned the saints in 1859 against placing too much importance on wealth and riches rather than on the principles of the gospel. Quote, It also appears to me that very many of the Latter-day Saints are as far from good wholesome ideas and principles touching their heavenly privileges as the East is from the West. They covet the riches of this world, craving to serve themselves and satisfy the sordid dispositions within them. Had they the sense of an angel, and were they in possession of mountains of gold, heaped up higher and deeper, broader and longer than these mountains on the east and west of us, they would say that vast amounts of gold is as nothing when compared to the privilege of even living in this day and age of the world when the gospel is preached. Journal of Discourses, volume 7, page 173. Each of us should ask ourselves, are we more concerned about gold or the gospel? Temporal wealth or eternal exaltation? Hopefully the decision has been made or will be made to more fully appreciate and learn the gospel doctrines and principles, to value the privilege of living at a time when the fullness of the gospel is on the earth and available to the saints of God. Since some readers may feel hesitant in delving into the mysteries, let's begin with a brief study of our responsibilities in this area. And that's where we're going to end today. We'll get into the next chapter when I come back on. That'll be chapter 2, The Keys of the Mystery. And I'll just read the first page of that to give you a little taste of what we're going to talk about. So the first page says, "Learning the gospel is not a simple task because it is completed with serious contemplations and study." And actually, some of these doctrines, you have really got to mentally exert yourself in to sort out and understand and get revelation and correction and inspiration from God to understand them, because there's so many false doctrines, and it's not hard, but it takes a lot of effort. Anyway, "We may learn a great deal from books and some from hearing inspired teachers, but we should not overlook other important sources, personal inspiration," or another important source, personal inspiration. And I contend that getting revelation, as James chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If you lack wisdom, ask God." That is something that we can all do, and we can all get revelation. The more we study and delve into the gospel, the deeper we enter into what are termed the mysteries. But according to Joseph Smith, this is our calling. Quote, "We are called to hold the keys of the mystery of those things that have been kept hid from the foundations of the world even until now. Some have tasted a little of these things, many of which are to be poured down from heaven upon the heads of babes, yea, upon the weak, obscure, and despised ones of the earth." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 137. It was in the early days of the church that Joseph Smith gave such restrictions to the missionaries. Quote, "O ye elders of Israel, hearken to my voice, and when you are sent into the world to preach, tell those things which you are sent to tell. Preach and cry aloud, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Declare the first principles and let mysteries alone. Lest you be overthrown, never meddle with the visions of beasts and subjects that you do not understand." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 292. Certainly it is not wise to declare the mysteries of the gospel to non-members of the church. Christ taught thousands of people the beautiful Beatitudes, but when he taught them to, some of the mysteries of the kingdom, they sought to take his life. Joseph Smith reflected on what Jesus had that Jesus had to restrain his feelings many times for the safety of himself and his followers, and had to conceal the righteous purposes of his heart in relation to many things pertaining to his Father's kingdom. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 392. It was the discussion of these hidden secrets or mysteries, not the first principles, that caused the wrath of the Jewish Empire. And so that's why Joseph Smith said not to share the mysteries, because people aren't ready for it. Now, with me, this is a little bit different. In 2013, I was getting excommunicated, which was a huge heartbreak in my life. I was told to recant on my beliefs. If not, I was a heretic and I was an apostasy, even though Brigham Young, I guess, is a heretic and an apostate as well, which is kind of interesting because Brigham Young was a prophet longer, or was the president of the church longer than anybody else, from 1844 to 1877. And he taught things that the current church says is apostate and heretical. But then the church says that the prophet can't lead you astray. And he taught them as doctrine. So how is it they can teach that Brigham Young taught incorrect doctrine and then tell you that that they can't lead you astray? It's just, I don't know what they call it, cognitive dissonance maybe? I don't know if that's the right application of that word, but you know, and they want to change a bunch of, they're always changing things. If you know the history of the church and you know the doctrines which were taught in the beginning as compared to the doctrines as taught today, there are many changes, which I have gone over a little bit before this point. Anyway, but God told me in 2000, I was crying to him and I was like, why is this happening to me? I don't understand. And I wasn't even really teaching any of this stuff that I believed. I mean, other than to my wife, I was telling her about some things, you know. And I don't know if it's true, but I think my mother-in-law actually turned me into the stake president. And then the stake president found out, and I wasn't going to lie to him. And they cast me out of the church, and I wasn't even allowed to go to my excommunication. They didn't care. I couldn't defend myself. And when I told the stake president about my beliefs, like, he turned beet red. He was so angry. And, like, is that the spirit of God? Like, I don't know. Anyway, but I was crying, and Heavenly Father had been trying to teach me something for a very long time, and I was like, no way. I don't believe it. And my aunt received a revelation, because I wasn't listening, and she told me that I was the One Mighty and Strong, and that A bunch of stuff. Because of my experience of having seen the Father face to face, I am the witness of the Father and the Son, quite literally. I am a witness of the Father and the Son. And, or I am the witness of the Father and Son. And Heavenly Father came to me and he said, "Kneel down before me and ask me who you are." And so I did so, and he showed me who I am, why I was called, why in my patriarchal blessing it says that I have received the gift of eternal life, which is my calling and election, why I have been sealed up unto the Father and given the fullness of the priesthood, and all these things. And then Heavenly Father, our Father in heaven, told me to be bold with my witness and teach the people. That's why I do what I do. That's why I stand firm in my convictions and in my witness, come hell or high water. That's why I've lost all of my TBM, true believing Mormon friends. I used to have tons. Everybody used to love me, and now nobody wants to talk to me. Well, I have some friends still, but but I'm gonna continue doing what I'm doing because God told me to be bold in sharing and declaring these things. So, where the missionaries were told not to get into the mysteries of the gospel, I've been told to be bold, so I'm going to be bold. Anyway, it doesn't look like we have any callers, which is fine. I will be back on later, maybe tomorrow, maybe Monday. I'm not sure yet. I'm taking a break for the Shabbat. And Eliza, do you have anything to say? Say it into the microphone. You have to talk into the microphone. You have something to say?
See you later.
See you later. Thanks for watching, everyone. Take care. God bless. And Shabbat Shalom.